from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Voitin.
Good morning, happy Thursday, and thank you for listening to the G and Ursula Show. Ursula is out today, but don't you worry, Spike O'Neill is filling in for Ursula. Good morning to you, Spike.
Good morning, G.
Okay, we got a lot going on this hour. Yes, we do have agree to disagree, and we're going to be getting to that in a second. But Chris, I know Chris Martin is here, and he's going to be rolling because here at 11:30, Merrick Garland is supposed to do a press conference. And so we're going to make sure at 11:30, we're going to make sure we get you the latest and greatest on what he has to say. He will be talking. You still have an ongoing situation with the attempted breach of the FBI building in Cincinnati. They are still trying to negotiate with that gunman. That's going on right now. They're still pursuing that. So there's a lot of news going on. We will keep you up to date as everything kind of comes forward. But right now, let's get to it. Agree to disagree, brought to you by Guardian Roofing and Garden.
One of these days, we just got to take off the gloves. Just really go at it.
So we've been talking a lot of heavy topics, so let's lighten it up a little bit. A woman who works...
Lose context, and one of the number one places where I believe misunderstandings happen, arguments happen, or even further escalation of an argument and or disagreement, text message. If you're listening right now, how many times have you had a text message discussion go wrong? And this is why I don't have serious conversations or back and forth on text. Sometimes very serious conversations are better in person than on the phone or through text message. So, yeah, Spike, sometimes you kind of do. Sometimes it is the delivery, because I get a lot. I get very far. I've learned this. I get very far with things with my delivery and my tone when I'm out and about and I want good customer service or I'm at a business. Or you'd be amazed at what you do and how you do.
Well, I can only speculate as to the incident that took place at LaGuardia was the airport, right, Chris, in New York City. As to your point about the misunderstanding of texting, often I couldn't agree more. Whoever invents the sarcasm font is going to be a zillionaire.
Ooh-wee, yes.
But the lady in New York used her teacher voice, and I honestly have to say that I do think her race played a factor in this, but not because, and I'm only speculating, not because the gate agent or whoever decided she wasn't safe to fly doesn't like black people. I think the person doesn't have an understanding of what a strong black woman sounds like, because there is a delivery tone that is unique to a, I've had, and I'm thinking from most of my interactions with strong African-American women have been in the teaching realm. And it was a while ago for me, but there's a way that this section of our society speaks, and it can be intimidating if you're not accustomed to it and familiar with it or comfortable with it. I think this lady did not like her tone, but I think banning her from a flight because I can't trust you at 35,000 feet is a horrible overreaction. I think if there's a teacher on board, it's one of the few people you can trust on a flight at 35,000 feet.
Right.
So I
hear what you're saying, and you're right. You're on the right track when it comes to some of these discussions, and I can look at black women in my family, but I know probably my mom's listening right now, so I apologize for what I'm going to say right now. my mom's flat out rude. Okay, I'm just going to come out and say it.
Oh,
my mom's rude. Period.
I love the courage you showed.
She's just rude. I mean, my mom and my sister, they're rude. If something is just a little off at the restaurant. Just a little off. And this is why I don't like to go to eat with them. And they know it. I've told them. They're rude. I'll take this back. This is it. This is what I ordered. And I keep trying to tell them, no matter if they do mess up or not. And, you know, it happens. Mistakes happen. You could still tell them in a nice way. Oh, hi. Excuse me, ma'am. Excuse me, sir. I didn't order cheese on this, or I wanted my potatoes to be this way and all that. So it's kind of crazy how that happens. So before we get it, I just want to let you guys know we will take Merrick Garland live. That will be happening here in about another 15 minutes, maybe 15 minutes. Merrick Garland will be speaking. So we will be taking it live for you. So you don't have to go anywhere. Let's get to the next topic, Chris.
So this story is a little bit of a bummer. There's reports, and they seem to be true, that Brazilians have started, some Brazilians, I'm sure just a handful, have started poisoning monkeys over misplaced fears that they're to blame for the growing monkeypox outbreak, where it's a pretty big outbreak in Brazil. The news has reported in Brazil that 10 monkeys have been poisoned. They say it's happened in other cities. The World Health Organization expressed sorrow on Tuesday for the killing of the animals. It urged people not to kill monkeys, saying there was no link to monkeypox. The virus has only spread human to human. Spike, how do you think people should get accurate information? How do you find the truth in this world of news?
Oh, if I had that answer. But that's the root of the problem, is paranoia and misinformation. You know, I've been to Brazil. I've been to Manaus in Brazil, the city where the Amazon meets the Rio Negro, the main water junction in Brazil. I've for just a week, but I've spent time in the Brazilian culture, and it's hard to get good information. We take so much for granted. We have so many resources as far as even news outlets and places to get our information here in America, and that's not the case in Brazil. It's tragic these monkeys are being killed, but maybe it's the name itself that needs to be changed. You know, diseases transfer from animals to humans. And that's, I'm not sure if that's how monkeypox initially started. I don't know. But like you said, Chris, it goes from human to human. It's misinformation. Maybe the country needs to start making proclamations over public loudspeakers, because that's kind of how you get information in parts of Brazil, is just over loudspeaker through the streets, that this is a human to human disease. You know, the monkeys are not responsible. Police, I mean, the animals have a hard enough time in today's world.
You want to know how you want to know how you change behavior? You want to know how you change it to where how you can get better information?
Please.
You want to know how we can change this continuation of misinformation happening? This is how you change it. Mess with the pocketbooks. Mess with the money. You know, you go back years ago, you talk about the Montgomery boycott. Right. You talk about, you know, it started with Rosa Parks, and then the whole movement was spearheaded by Dr. Martin Luther King.
Right.
Why were they able to really make an impact?
Because they defunded the funding that came into the transportation system.
That's it. Period. Period. Point blank. Let's go back to even earlier before that. Why did Sears Roebuck? Why did Sears become so famous? How were they able to take off? You know how? They go into the South and they said, hey, black people, we know that downtown at the stores, that these businesses don't want to take your money, but we just want you to know we will take your money. So that's the reason why the Sears Roebuck, the catalog, was so popular, because they were the first ones to say, hey, we'll take your money. Nobody makes changes until it messes with your money. Now, here's the catch. There are people that make more money to continue with these rhetoric, with these actions. You have Marjorie Taylor Greene that says defund the FBI. All of these comments about the FBI. And what are we dealing with right now? We are dealing with threats on the FBI. When Donald Trump says the media is the enemy of the people, what do we get from that? We get threats on the media. So you want to stop this misinformation, stop this awful rhetoric? The only way it stops is if you mess with the money. They won't stop, especially if they are making more money to continue with it. This is why we have January 6th. This is why we have so many men and women that are going to prison because of that time. And do you think the same people that told them to stand down and stand by, you think they're going to write them while they're in prison? You think they're going to help out their families when their loved one is in prison and they can't pay their bills? No, they won't. These people with platforms and some of these politicians continue to make money off giving you awful information.
Marjorie Taylor Greene, by the way, one of the top fundraisers in the GOP. I mean, to your point, that's it.
All right, we spoke earlier in the show about how inflation is affecting everyone. The new numbers are a little better, but inflation is still a huge problem. Two popular restaurant chains are saying that their sales have gone up among households earning over $75,000 per year. The two chains are Applebee's and IHOP, not known as, you know, high-end restaurants. So, gee, are you going to less expensive restaurants right now, or going out less because of inflation?
This is a very unfair question to ask me. It really is, because I have to answer this honestly, number one, and I don't feel good to be broadcasting it over the air. But I'll answer it honestly. The answer is no. I don't go to Applebee's or IHOP or any place because I'm going to go there for the deals. I like going to nice places because I like nice experiences. I'm able to afford that, and so that's what I do. I don't like to boast about that, but there's that, Spike.
And I have to admit that I would have eaten there if I hit the mega lottery and hit $500 million. I'm still going to go to Applebee's and IHOP. I got a palate that is so elementary. I wouldn't know good food if you tied me down and forced it into my mouth. And this is no knock on my wife's cooking. She's a fine cook. I do a lot of cooking in my house. I'm an okay cook. I was raised on simple sunshine. You know, I don't need a lot to be happy when it comes to food. I don't mind Applebee's and IHOP. I think if you can find a way to make, you were talking earlier about how hard it is on folks these days, how you make budgets, how do you make, you know, I love a good steak. I love a good steakhouse. But if I've got to choose between rent, prescription drugs, gasoline, and a trip to, you know, Ruth Chris or El Gaucho or wherever, we're getting the chicken fried at IHOP, kids.
But I think in a lot of ways, Spike, that we all have our vice, right? Like we have something that we like to splurge on. Maybe you like video games, or maybe you like tools for your tool shed.
No, I'll tell you, I'm a memorabilia guy.
So, okay,
I'm a relive my glory days of youth sports guy. I'm a autographed jersey guy. Mm-hmm. That's my weakness.
My close friends, you know what they like to do? Some of them like to go gamble. I don't understand it. If I lose $5, then the competitive side to me says I need to get that $5 back. Now, if I lose that $5, and if I lose another $10 trying to get that $5, so now I'm down $15. Well, now I need to get that $15 back. And if I lose $100 trying to get that $50, you get where I'm going? Like,
I do.
I've chased it too, man. But again, to each their own. Everybody has their thing. There's things that I like to do, and there's things that I don't like to do. Like, for an example, when I go to fast food places, mm-hmm. I still do not order a soda. I still ask for free water.
So this next one's tied to what we were just talking about. Did you know there's been big developments in coolers, like the ones you take to the beach? They used to let in warm air through poorly sealed lids, and they cracked easily. But now many modern coolers promise to keep ice frozen for days, claim to be indestructible, they have wheels. But some of them can cost $500. Can you, Spike, is it ridiculous to spend $500 on a cooler? Or do you say, if you got the money, flaunt it?
You know what? This is a unique scenario, because a good cooler is worth every penny. You know, I can get by on cut rate in a lot of ways. You know, it took me a while, but I kind of, believe it or not, I know that the stuff in the generic brands from a grocer is not much different than the designer labels we've been, you know, I don't want to point any fingers at Del Monte or Libby or whomever. You know, there's not a lot of difference in canned goods when you get a designer label or a generic label. But a good cooler, a crappy cooler, you can have your drinks floating in water in an hour. And a good cooler, like you said, Chris, 3 days later, you still got ice. And maybe it's not just how cold is your beer. Is the food you took on your camping trip still edible, safe for your family? Are the meats you took, the dairy products you took to have a nice campfire breakfast for your kids, can you still serve them sausage without rushing them to the hospital for salmonella? A good cooler is worth every penny.
You know what? I believe a good cooler is worth every penny. Not for me, but I think for someone else. I'd be very selfish to say that it's a dumb idea to buy a $500 cooler or $1,500 cooler. That's selfish. Why? Because you guys know I ain't camping. And you guys, wait a minute. You guys made fun of me when I did go camp. And that's another story in itself. You made fun of my luxury sheets and me bringing a suitcase and all that stuff.
Yeah, that's just
what you do. But anyways, I'm going to be in a house or I'm going to be in a hotel. As for the people that love to camp, that love the outdoors, they love to be out and about, by all means, if I were you, I would definitely invest in a cooler. $500, $1,000, $1,500 I believe it's all relevant. And by the way, you just said make a great point, Spike. It's, you don't want nobody to go to the hospital.
Right.
You want things to remain cold.
But that being said, nobody needs a Louis Vuitton cooler. Nobody needs a Dolce & Gabbana cooler. Okay, let's draw a line somewhere.
Whoa, wait a minute. I feel attacked.
Why?
I'm going to tell you right. Wait, you didn't know that?
I know you've got more style than I could ever dream of. I know that the first minute I met you.
I tell you this, if I was a camper or somebody likes the outdoors, you're right. I'm going to have that Louis Vuitton of cooling.
Isn't that a great scene from a movie? You pull up to your campsite and the campsite next to you, you know, it's the Paris Hilton types with their Louis Vuitton cooler.
Yeah, yes. Hey, coming up next, I don't know what it is. Please don't blame me, but college enrollment is declining. We'll discuss that next. You guys are listening to the Gian Ursula Show with Spike O'Neill. It is the Gian Ursula Show. Happy Thursday to all of you. Spike O'Neill is in for Ursula. Just want to remind you and keep you aware that Attorney General Merrick Garland is scheduled to speak. When he does come to the podium and he's ready to talk, we will take that live just for you. So we'll wait for that. I'll get the nod, I'll get the wink, and I'll get the know when it's time for Merrick Garland to speak. But right now, Spike, I want to talk about college enrollment. And there's been a decline in the number of high school graduates willing to invest the time and money that it takes to go to college. John Marcus from Hersinger Report tells NBC News that this decision can really affect people's quality of life.
There are consequences for individuals who choose not to go to college. People with bachelor's degrees, whether they believe it's worth the money or not, people with bachelor's degrees actually make over their lifetimes about 67% more than people who don't go to college. More generally for the economy, there's a huge impact on the economy because we're running out of educated workers. There was, even before the pandemic, a shortage estimated to be about 9 million college-educated workers. In a knowledge economy, that's a big problem, and our economic rivals worldwide have increased the proportion of their population going to college, whereas in the United States, it's declining very, very quickly.
There are 4 million fewer students in college now than there were 10 years ago. And one expert says that with the exception of wartime, the United States has never been through a period of declining educational attainment like this. Spike, your thoughts.
Oh, well, first off, for full disclosure, I have got a daughter about to start college in the fall. But I think that the cost of college may be a factor that we haven't spoken of yet in this story. I mean, college tuitions have increased insanely. What it cost me to go. I went back to school 3 years ago. I went to school in the mid-80s. I was my first soiree into university learning. I spent more in 1 year than I spent in 4 years back in 1983, for example. And what my kids' college is going to cost is going to – I'm glad we planned. I'm glad we saved. It's an exorbitant amount. But I also think that there is a revival of respect for the trades, for the working class. I think more kids are realizing that an education, they see adults with educations or working in fields that they didn't pursue in education and degrees that are worthless or not used. A lot of kids are seeing that and realizing that, you know what? To quote the great Judge Smales from Caddyshack, the world needs ditch diggers too. Yeah. But tradesmen, electricians, plumbers, whatever it is, skilled labor, I think it's making a comeback.
Jim Rohn said, formal education will make you a living. Self-education will make you a fortune.
Mm.
And I truly believe that. Now, if I was here on my couch and it was just us and I wasn't broadcasting, those that know me, that my discussion centered around college is I could be pretty harsh on college because I think it's a scam. Oftentimes, you want to. What's more important? I'll ask somebody. What's more important, to go to that college or to go get that trade? What do you want to do? Because I think trade school is probably the most important thing that there is. And as a matter of fact, if you really are concerned, if the government is really concerned about education, I got an idea. How about this? Show me you care. Why don't you attach trades to high school? You know, the vocational schools that we used to have in the past that we're seeing less and less and less. Why do we see them less and less? Why don't you attach these trades to the high school? So then that way, when you're junior year, you're allowed to go and learn a trade while you're in school. You want to keep the interest of a young man or a young lady? Go ahead and attach that trade. And then when they graduate high school at 18 years old, they have a trade. Nope. Because for some reason, we want to go to these universities and colleges that cost $100,000, $200,000 for a four-year degree that does not guarantee you a job after you're done with college. Then you have student loan debt, which is something that I fight with people about, and I fight with folks saying, oh, we don't want to eliminate student loan debt. Back in my day, I was allowed to pay for college. Yeah, because you paid $10,000 to finish 4 years of a degree. Yeah. Or maybe you paid $40,000.
Amen.
So, again, I try not to get so worked up about this. I do think trade schools need to be talked about more. And for all of the men and women that have gone to trade school, you got you a trade, good for you. Because when you go get that trade, they can't take that away from you. But when you go to college and you go get in debt in these university and you come out with a, quote, business degree, a, quote, marketing degree, what's the percentage of people that go and graduate from college and work in the field in which they majored in? Maybe engineers, maybe doctors, maybe lawyers, right? There's only a specific amount of people that continues to do that. Most of us go to graduate. Why do we graduate college? So that we can have the prerequisite to get into that field, to get the job. Hey, you must have a four-year degree to apply, yeah. Which that's starting to go away. But again, I get really worked up with the college discussion, Spike.
And I think I'm with you on most of the things you said. We agree 1,000%. The student loan situation in this country is obscene. Story that I read last night about a woman who went to school in her 50s and borrowed, I think it was close to $80,000 in student loans, has made payments her entire life. She's in her 90s now. She has paid more than double of what she borrowed, and she still owes more than five times. She borrowed 80 grand. She still owes almost 300 grand. On her student loan. And she hasn't missed a payment, but there's a system where you're allowed to pay a percentage of your income on your student loan. And people will never, with interest and penalties, people never get off from underneath the student loans. I'm not for forgiving student loans. I'm forgiving the predatory nature and the excessive penalties and interest of student loans.
If I had to do it over again, and let's just say I was in high school right now, and I was able to take the knowledge that I have right now, just the knowledge that I have, and I was in high school, and they said, okay, G, what trade would you like to learn? Oh, it is so easy. Spike, have you ever met a broke electrician?
Nope.
Or a plumber?
Right on.
Or a plumber? I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm in high school. I'm going to say, sir, ma'am, I want to take two. I want to learn how to be a plumber. And I want to learn how to be an electrician. Oh, you sure you want to do that? Absolutely. Because again, I've never met a broke electrician or plumber. Y'all always got money in your pocket. You go out here, you become a journeyman, and I don't know all the lingo that goes, but I know you make good money. But why isn't that talked about enough? People would rather say, oh, I went to this big university and I went to this big college and I pledged and I was a fraternity and sorority. Hey, I want to go be the electrician and a plumber and always got money stacked in my pocket.
I've always seen that little that comedic meme on Facebook about, this is John. He went to school. He owes $400,000 in student loan debt. He's looking for a job. This is Tim. He went to electricians. He was a paid apprentice. He was paid while he learned. He's about to cut off John's electricity because John can't pay his bills. It's far too true, man. Far too common.
Absolutely. All right. Coming up next, your text, your feedback, and then we'll have Ursula's words to live by that hopefully Spike O'Neill will be prepared for.
I got you.
All right. You guys listen to Gene Ursula's show with Spike O'Neill. The Gene Ursula Show. Happy Thursday to all of you. Spike O'Neill, really appreciate you hanging out. And while Ursula is out, appreciate you for that. But right now, it is time for all the text messages that come in on our show. And starting off with Cairo Knights. 206 says, so good to hear that Spike will be on the Cairo team. And then Susan says, did Spike just sleep at the studio last night?
No, I live close. I swear, I went home.
I also
walked my dog the whole nine yards.
I hope Ursula is okay and just taking some much-deserved time off. Not that I don't like listening to Spike. 425 says, love hearing Spike on the air. Gonna have to start listening to Cairo Knights.
Well, let's change. That's very kind of people. I appreciate the patience it's going to take till we get this thing up to speed. Getting to cutting back on police at sporting events from the 360. Cancel sporting event police. They should be out in the community.
Nick says, the only time I'm comfortable at these big events is either when I'm armed or there is a good police presence. Too many crazies these days.
I'm sorry, Nick. We'll agree to disagree on this one. Tony says, I do agree with you, G. Never get rid of the law enforcement or security at sporting events. I think it makes us all safe, and I think it keeps us all in our place just knowing they're there.
My bonus on this little deal here is this. 60 to 65,000 all in one place. Do you really want to cut back on security? Honestly.
There's a term, the inmates running the asylum. You ever heard that one? And the last one on that subject, all sporting companies should have to pay for private security so taxpayers don't have to pay. And I should point out, I know for a fact that they the do. Larger yeah. events, yeah. teams like the Seahawks and the Mariners,
they
reimburse the city for the cost of security.
Yes they do. Yes, they do. Woman kicked off flight because of teacher voice. 316 says, teacher voice? That means she was talking to an adult like they were a child. That's rude.
And sometimes required, 316. The 360 says, was it her tone or was it the language that got her banned from the airline? There's a big difference. And I listened to the clip and she was not profane. She was not dismissive. She did kind of speak like it was a child, though. To be fair.
Rob says, threat assessment is a tough one. There's not a lot of room for error at 35,000 feet. I'm not going to jump to the racist conclusion before learning more, though. You know what? That's a very good point.
It is.
Like, there are some topics where there's, you know, racist that is thrown in there. And there's sometimes I'll read it and I'll be like, I don't want to talk about that. I need more context there. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes you had to have been there. Because when some people tell a story, I mean, even sometimes I can tell a story, and that'll be something. But go ahead. What else you got next?
Killing monkeys because of monkeypox. Jeff says, do you know it used to be illegal to spread disinformation on public airwaves? It got changed in the 80s, maybe? It was a good law. It was called the Fairness Doctrine. It was on the air that news had to be news and not just opinions. And I think we're all worse for that.
Yeah. Threats to FBI and government officials. 360 says the FBI has been turned into a weapon for the Democrats. Oh. Now, real quick, I just want to put this in context. These are text messages that are coming in, and we are reading these text messages. But go ahead, Skip.
Skip, well, you'll get there. We'll get there together, my friend.
All right.
You know what? You can have your point of view. Thanks for at least being civil and expressing your point of view and not calling us a name. If you call me a name, I don't care what your point of view is. You lost the argument to me. From the 253, I don't recall hearing this much outrage when the squad was saying defund the police. Both parties are wrong. Why don't you point that out once in a while? We do, actually. We do say that. We said that defunding the police was the stupidest marketing slogan ever contrived.
You know what's interesting? I wonder why they picked the squad to use in that example.
Don't draw any conclusions until you know more. Remember the last texter said, all right? Yeah.
Let's see what the 425 says. Last I checked, there's a difference between the cops that walk a beat versus the FBI that are controlled by the politicians. Black Lives Matter wanted to defund you, basic police. The FBI is a whole different animal. Oh, wait a minute. I wonder how Black Lives Matter got into this. You know, I just, there's some kind of connection. I haven't really figured it out. But you know what? You give us words to live by and we'll be all better for it. What do you got? Words to live by brought to you by Wilcox Farm.
Okay, words to live by. And I want to thank Chris because I had one, but Chris also, just to cover our bases, made sure I had one. And this one is so much better. Chris, thank you. The quote is this: I've missed more than 9,000 shots in my career. I've lost almost 300 games. 26 times I've been trusted to take the game-winning shot and missed. I failed over and over and over again in my life, and that's why I succeed. Gee, you probably know this quote and who it came from. Michael Jordan. Maybe the greatest competitor in all of pro sports. You can argue about who the greatest athlete was in various sports, and there's legitimate arguments for so many. But Michael Jordan may be the fact that he knows how many shots he missed, the fact that he knows how many games he lost, that he knows how many times it was on his shoulders to take the game winner and he failed. The fact that he knows that lets you know what a competitor he is and that he never gave up. He tried, he failed, and that's why he succeeds.
Well, you know what? I'm going to ruffle some feathers here. I think Michael Jordan is for sure one of the greatest players of all time. Mm-hmm. But Michael Jordan, as far as a motivational speaker, have you ever heard him speak?
Yeah.
Mm-mm. No.
Leaves a little something.
He's a great basketball player.
Well let me say this. Go ahead.
No, we got to get to Nick real quick.
I know we do, but let me say this.
Okay, go ahead.
As far as never giving up, I quote Dory, the great Dory. And I'm not Dory Monson, who I respect. Dory of Nemo fame. Just keep swimming. Just keep swimming.
What do you got, Nick?
Well, a surprising visit from you today, Spike. For me, at least. I wasn't expecting to see you, but I got to say, questionable tone you had with Gian buying a Louis Vuitton cooler, similar designer lunch pail of that sort. Better look out with that attitude, or you might see yourself getting kicked out of Applebee's or IHOP. Then the real challenge starts, trying to see what's available in the icebox at home.
I'm cleaning out the fridge!
Well, I'm sure with your bland palate you described on the menu, it's going to be tofu and rice cakes, but we can work on that zest for flavor later, buddy. Good to see you again.
You too.
Spike, are you doing your show today?
I am.
Man!
And I'll be back with you, I think, maybe tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
Yeah. Hey, man, I've been off the bike for a while. I'm going to get back on and pedal till they take it away.
Yeah, well, wait a minute. I remember your wife said that she wants you to keep going, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know what? My wife, I have to say, was a little jaded on the profession, given the company I used to work for. But we work for Bonneville.
All right. Well, Dory Monson Show comes up next. Appreciate you for listening. Love you for that. And be good.
Hope you had as much fun as we have. So long, everybody.